There is no Savior and no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. You and I make proud claims for Jesus Christ. The issue is this, is do we supply any evidence?
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
You know, in a sense, in a very real sense, every Christian is an advertisement for Jesus Christ. I think that should be a sobering thought when we think about it. Every one of us as the people of God is an advertisement for the Lord Jesus Christ. Men are made to think more or less of the Son of God based on our behavior and our identity, what we are and what we do. And that's our ministry, to advertise the virtues of the Lord. How are we to do that? We do it not only verbally, it means not only speaking. We do it not only verbally, that's certainly involved. There are occasions when we have to speak the Word of God and very clearly and articulately identify who Jesus Christ is so that people will come to know Him. But we do it not only verbally, but also visually. And that's the whole burden of the apostle in this next section of Scripture, beginning in verse 11 and going all the way down through the third chapter, at least into verse 12, and maybe even further than that, but at least into verse 12. And Peter identifies for us in that whole long section, we're going to look at one of them, two verses, verses 11 and 12, but Peter identifies for us in that whole long section four very practical ways in which our faith becomes visible. And Peter says, if you want to make your faith visible, it will begin right here. One, you must have a respect for purity. Now, there are three basic things that I want to point out in those two verses which are designed to help us make our faith visible. Enhance and deepen our respect for purity. So that as our faith becomes visible, our ministry will become more fruitful. So what are the three things that Peter touches on in this passage? Number one, there's the mandate, the command, the mandate. I beseech you, abstain. Number two, we have to at least touch on this subject, there's the malignancy. Abstain from what? Fleshly lusts. And then thirdly, there's a motivation. The authors of the New Testament know that we always need a motivation, an inducement to do what they ask us to do. We know what to do, but what will motivate us to do it? Number one, he says, because of our condition. And he tells us what our condition is. He starts it right out there in verse 11, I believe it is. Dearly beloved means loved ones. Our condition is this. We are God's dearly beloved children. We have become the objects of His great love. The objects of God's love should return it. And that will mean abstaining from fleshly lusts. But not only our condition, but our citizenship. Do you notice what we're called there? He says, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims. Those are words that teach that we have a different citizenship. Our citizenship is not on this globe. Those are words that teach that Christians are resident aliens. We're aliens, we're strangers, we're foreigners residing here. We're resident aliens who are stationed temporarily on this tiny outpost in the universe called planet Earth. And because our citizenship is elsewhere, Philippians 3 and verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, our politouma, says in the King James, our conversation, our politouma, our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Since our citizenship is elsewhere, so long as we are here, we are to reflect in miniature the character of the homeland. What is the homeland like? We're citizens of a homeland. What is it like? We're to reflect in miniature the character of that homeland. You know what that means? On a practical basis, that means that Christians are to have a certain detachment from the world. And more precisely, it means that they are to be free of fleshly lusts. Peter is saying that heavenly citizenship, you're strangers and pilgrims, you're a resident aliens, you have a citizenship in another homeland. Heavenly citizenship and fleshly lusts are utterly incompatible. There's an ancient saying, it was attributed to Jesus, but we can't validate it. It may not have been Jesus' statement. But there is an ancient saying which says the world is a bridge. The wise man will pass over it, but he will not build his house upon it. And it may be that too many of us have failed to realize that we truly are sojourners and pilgrims. We get attached to the good life. And we sink our roots down a little more deeply than we ought to into this world, with the result that we have invested too much in this world, which is passing away, the Bible says, 1 John 2:17. The world is passing away, present tense, it's in the process of disintegrating. We invest too much in this world and too little in the world to come, which abideth forever, John said. the world to come abides forever, and we ought to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven and not simply here on earth. No Christian should sink his roots so deeply down here that Jesus Christ can barely extract him from the earth when he calls us to himself from up there. We must never so soil ourselves as to be unfit to stand in the presence of the holy God to whom we belong and to whom we are going. We're going to be with God. That's our eternal destiny. We have a citizenship that is foreign to this globe. We're strangers and pilgrims. Therefore, we ought not to live by the values of this world. We should abstain from fleshly lusts. Not only our condition, we're beloved, not only our citizenship, we're strangers and pilgrims, but also our conflict. Peter says, these war against the soul. They destroy the higher values of life. They are destructive to the spiritual anatomy. They war against the soul. He says that fleshly lusts, living by the world's values, warped values, and engaging in activities which are prompted by the fallen nature, the old nature, they're like mutineers on board. They're capable of raising an insurrection and waging a campaign against the higher values of life and our spiritual well-being. I think it's true that all too often, we who are Christians possess kind of a weird, unusual fascination for those things which can only destroy us. We want to try them. For some reason, it always seems that the grass is always greener on the other side till we get over there. The beginning of the way is so attractive. The end of the way is so destructive. And we have this terrible fascination with things which can only destroy us. And it's for that reason that Peter lays upon us his mandate, abstain. Hold yourself off from or away from completely fleshly lusts. We're in the midst of a deep spiritual conflict. And we possess the wherewithal to have victory. We can win the conflict. But we must never allow the enemy a foothold or a beachhead. We must abstain from fleshly lusts. Then finally, he uses as a motivation our calling. We're called to make a powerful evangelistic impact on the lives of those around us. So Peter makes reference to the Gentiles. Having your conversation, literally your lifestyle, honest or beautiful, among the Gentiles, the pagans, the unbelievers, the non-Christians, in order that, whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Peter says three things about the pagans, and they relate to us. Do you notice, first of all, he makes reference to their slander? They speak evil against you as evildoers. Slanderous charges were continually being made against the Christians. And Peter says the only effective way to refute those charges is to live a life that is so lovely that those charges will be seen to be obviously and clearly untrue. A man criticizes a Christian. Another man says, no, that's impossible. That couldn't be. I've looked into his life and I've seen what God has done. That's the way it's to be done, Peter says. He talks about an honest conversation, having your conversation honest. As I said, conversation means lifestyle, your whole way of living. And the word honest is kalos, K-A-L-O-S, kalos. It's often translated good, but it really means that which is beautiful. It describes a goodness which is visible, a goodness which is visibly beautiful and attractive. Prove their accusations to be baseless by the Christian beauty of your life, says Peter. You know, the New Testament Christians were accused of cannibalism? Unbelievable, the rumors that were circulated about the early New Testament Christians. They were accused of cannibalism because Jesus said, this is my body and this is my blood. They were accused of cannibalism. They were accused of immorality because they called the observance of the Lord's Supper the agape, the love feast. But it was a divine love, not an erotic love that bound them together. They were accused of damaging trade. You know, I wish we could be accused of this one. Demetrius, who lived in Ephesus, was a maker of shrines, silver shrines for Diana, a false god. And he was made to say, our craft is in danger to be set in naught. You know what he was saying? I'm about to be put out of business because of the influence of these Christians. I tell you, I wish we could have that in our day and age. That was happening in Ephesus. You read it in Acts, the 19th chapter, verses 24 and 27. They're accused of all kinds of ugly things that were false. Peter says, refute those false accusations by the inherent loveliness of your lifestyle. And that will mean abstaining from fleshly lust. He speaks of their slander. I just want to touch on these, their scrutiny. Do you notice he says that they behold your good works? And that word behold is the word that means eyewitness. And you know what it means? It means that Christians are people who are scrutinized and watched. You and I are making proud claims for Jesus Christ, and we ought to. He's the greatest liberator in the universe. There is no Savior and no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. You and I make proud claims for Jesus Christ. The issue is this, is do we supply any evidence that those claims are actually being fulfilled and realized in our lives? Jesus Christ is powerful. But is that power evident in your life and mine? It better be, because there are people who are eyewitnesses of our life. They are beholding our lifestyle. Their scrutiny. He talks of their salvation finally. He says that they may glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, there are a couple of things that could mean, but I'm going to touch on only one. Peter says, I want you to see the effect of a lovely life which abstains from fleshly lusts. Those Gentiles will glorify God in the day of visitation. What is a visitation? A visitation is a drawing near of God to deal with men either in judgment or in mercy. It's a drawing near of God to deal with men either in judgment or in mercy. And so far as I'm concerned, here it means mercy. In a day of mercy, God may draw near to your neighbor, Peter says. God may draw near to your friend. He may draw near to your relative. He may draw near to your fellow workman. In that day of mercy, he draws near with a view to bringing that man or that woman to repentance and faith. And God's greatest tool in bringing them to himself will be your honest conversation, your good works, the beauty of your life. The greatest missionary force in the world is a beautiful Christian life. And so you know what that does for you and I? It means that our great responsibility is to see to it that we allow nothing into our lives that would mar that beauty. You know what that means? Abstain from fleshly lust. Without that beauty, we shall be impotent in our evangelism. We might be able to parrot the plan of salvation, but we will be impotent in our salvation, for they shall never open their ears to what has become offensive to their eyes. That's why we need a beautiful life. Peter says the Christian's great task is to make his faith visible, incarnate. Our ministry becomes fruitful as our faith becomes visible. And so Peter says, here's how you make it visible. First, you must have respect for purity. He gives a mandate, I beseech you, abstain. He identifies the malignancy, abstain from fleshly lusts. And he gives us a motivation, our condition, we're beloved. Our citizenship, we're strangers and pilgrims here. Our conflict, these things war against the soul. Our calling, we're to have a positive, godly influence on those around us to bring them to Christ. That will mean abstaining from fleshly lusts. So here's the question. Now listen, we're almost done. Are we free? Are we free of the pollutants of the fleshly lusts? Or do we live by the warped values of this world? We are God's beloved. We're dearly beloved, agape toi, in Christ. We are God's beloved. Do we love him? And do we love him enough to obey him whenever he speaks to our hearts? This world is a bridge. And in this world, we are sojourners and pilgrims passing over this bridge. Are we doing that, crossing over it, or sinking down our roots? The greatest missionary force in the world is a beautiful Christian life. Let's be honest now. Is that the kind of life you and I are presenting to the watching world?
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.